Well, just taking a look at this past week, in the case of the United States, obviously there was a bit of a shock in terms of the CPI. It came in again higher than expected, and we had the June CPI. It was expected to rise by 1.1%. It rose by 1.3%, and that's taken the annual inflation rate up to 9.1% from 8.6%. The core CPI was higher than expected too, up at 0.7%. That did bring the annual rate back slightly to 5.9% from 6%, but obviously if you're going to be running at 0.7s on a monthly basis, it's going to go well above 6% for the core CPI before we go very much further. So this is just putting pressure back to the Fed, and the June Fed meeting's not far away now. It's coming up towards the end of the month. And so there's obviously speculation again about whether they do another 75 basis points or whether they have to go even more aggressively than that. And we had some precedent during the course of the last week because just to the north of the US, the Bank of Canada actually lifted rates by a full percentage point, taking their cash rate up to 2.5. So there's some precedent for that sort of just in the local region. Some of the other data, too, that came out of the US, we've had a lot of toing and froing running through financial market sentiment over the last week or so, where, as the market became sort of convinced maybe the US is heading into recession pretty quickly, and this is on the basis that, going back to Q1, the US had a negative sign on the front of the GDP rate. We've got GDP coming up again this in just over 2 weeks' time, and there's speculation that Q2 GDP may have a negative sign of it. Back-to-back negative rates means that the US has already fallen into recession. Well, there's a lot of kickback on that from a lot of analysts, and for good reason, because most of the other data we're seeing out the US is still very, very strong, not least of which is their labour market. And we had jobless claims for the most recent week. They're still running in the 200,000s, 244,000 for the most recent week. They're still consistent with quite a deal of strength running through the labour market. But also over this last week, we had retail sales came out the month of June. And there's nothing recession-like about these. June retail sales were up by 0.8% after being down by 0.3% the month before, and the core rate was at plus 0.6% after being up 0.5% the month before. So broadly speaking, looking at quite a deal of strength running through in terms of what we've seen running through there. Just getting into my correct. I'm just running in my wrong statistics at the moment, but getting there very quickly now. Just in terms of what we saw coming through in China last week, a bit of a surprise out of China too. We had it wasn't really a surprise because we had the second quarter GDP report. It was very, very weak indeed. It came in at minus 2.6% quarter on quarter. That's brought the annual rate of GDP growth in China for the second quarter down to 0.4% from 4.8%. That probably is the low point in terms of Chinese GDP, but we're not expecting a particularly strong recovery out of the trough in China. They still got issues relating to their property sector. There's some issues in the banking sector at the moment. All of that is expected to lead to a pretty soft lift in terms of economic activity. There will be some easier policy conditions coming through. That's already started in terms of trying to prime local government spending in China. And also, from time to time, the People's Bank of China has been able to ease both the reserve ratio requirement and also interest rates in China. But broadly speaking, we're not looking at a strong lift. We had some June data came out of China as well. The international part for the Chinese economy is probably the strongest part of it at the moment. We had exports. They're up 17.9% year on year. After being up 16.9% going back to May. So that was something of a positive surprise. On the import side, though, we were back to 1% after being up by 4.1% the month before. So that's indicative of an economy which is still running relatively softly. We had fixed asset investment spending. That came in up 6.1% after being up 6.2%. So you know, that's sort of jogging along around those sixes, but not unduly strong. And we had industrial production, which is starting to rebound after the lockouts, but not powerfully. It was up from 0.7% to 3.9%. Retail sales did show a lift. They got back to plus 3.1% year-on-year after being down by 6.7%. Again, with those lockouts just lifting a little. But, of course, we're having some talk that some lockouts will be reimposed again to get on top of the latest wave, which is starting to run through China of Omicron infections. So pretty patchy in terms of Chinese economic growth. And where we're seeing that most directly, as far as Australia is concerned, demand for iron ore come back quite a bit. And as a result of that, you know, we've seen quite a deal of downward pressure starting to show through iron ore prices for our export sector. That will be one of the softening factors for Australia as we go further ahead. But on the flip side of that, the commodity which nobody likes to talk about these days, which is coal, is coming back into demand. And so there is some quite strong demand there for Australian coal, and some talk that Chinese restrictions on coal imports from Australia will soon be lifted. Just turning to Australia, and we've still got, you know, obviously evidence of a very, very tight labour market here. We had the June labour force survey came out. Now, bearing in mind this is quite old data now, the survey itself was taken in the fortnight between the 28th of May and the 13th of June. So this is looking back a fair way. But what it showed was that employment way stronger than the market expected. It was up 88,400. Market was looking at 30,000 there. Full-time jobs were up by 52,900. But despite that huge lift in employment, hours worked actually fell by 0.1%. Now, the reconciling, you know, how you can employ a lot more people, but you work a lot less hours, it was absenteeism. And it was absenteeism due to the infections which were starting to run, you know, in that late part of autumn into the first part of the winter. And according to the ABS, something like 740,000 working hours were lost due to people reporting in sick during the reporting period. That's about double what you normally expect in the first month of winter. And, of course, that's getting worse at the moment, so we should expect to see that as another tightening factor running through the labour market for the time being. The unemployment rate came down to 3.5% from 3.9%. That 3.5% unemployment rate is the lowest unemployment rate in Australia since February of 1974. So over 48 years since we've last seen an unemployment rate as low as that. And for the first time ever, the number of people unemployed, which is 484,000, fairly much matches the number of job vacancies in Australia. In other words, it's one for one people unemployed relative to the number of job vacancies being reported. If you went back just before the pandemic started, that was three for one. In other words, there's three unemployed people for every job vacancy. This is an absolute record for Australia, that we've literally got a job vacancy for every single person who's unemployed at present. Now, they don't necessarily match, but it just shows you how tight this labour market is, and it's one of those factors, obviously, which the RBA is watching when it gets around to its next monetary policy meeting at the beginning of August. We are starting to see in the leading indicators, you know, some softening. We had the NAB business survey came out last week for the month of June. as far as business conditions are concerned, that's still holding up reasonably well. It came down to plus 13 from plus 15. That's still actually quite a strong result. Business confidence, though, is really starting to show some signs of coming back. And it was already down to plus 6 when we went back to May. We were down to plus 1 for the month of June. We still just got a margin of optimists over pessimists in that survey, but it's very line ball now. And that's largely down to the way in which interest rates have started to lift. And you can see it, too, in the July Westpac Consumer Sentiment Survey, which was down again by 3% after being down 4.5% the month before. This is now getting down to quite low levels. It still hasn't reflected in actual retail spending, but in time, yeah, that will probably show. And just in our part of the world, we had the RBNZ. They had their meeting. They did 50 basis points, and their cash rate's now at 2.5%. So, yeah, this gives us some indication of where we might be heading at the beginning of August. Beginning of August, it's fairly much a certainty that the RBA is going to do 50 basis points, but it could do more. And so on the basis of these numbers, which are starting to come through, one of the key factors before we get to that, right at the end of July, we'll get the latest CPI reading in Australia for Q2. We haven't got a full set of forecasts yet from the market for that, but it does look as if that 5.1% year-on-year CPI inflation rate will lift to somewhere near 6% when we see the Q2 CPI result coming out, and the underlying inflation rates will be touching up towards 4%. So there'll be a fair bit of pressure running to the Reserve Bank for that that first meeting in the early part of August. This week in Australia, we'll hear from the Reserve Bank a few times. We have the minutes of that last Reserve Bank meeting coming out tomorrow, and that will give us some indication of what has been occurring why they decided to do the back-to-back 50 basis points, what they're thinking in terms of the future. And we'll also get some indication, because we've got both the Deputy Governor speaking on Tuesday and Phil Lowe, the Reserve Bank Governor, speaking on Wednesday. So there'll be some indications coming through, we suspect, from those particular speeches through the course of this week. As far as Europe was concerned, the economic readings are actually holding up still pretty well. So we had the ZEW Economic Sentiment Survey, a remarkable change on that one. It went from minus 28 to plus 51.1, so a very, very strong lift running through there. We had industrial production, which has been rising pretty strongly the last couple of months. Admittedly, this is for May, but it was up by 0.8%. The market was only looking for a 0.2% increase there after a 0.5% increase the month before. And also the trade balance in May, just a somewhat of an improvement running through that. We came in terms of the deficit. There was a deficit of 32.4 billion euro going back to April. That narrowed considerably to 26.3 billion running for the month of May. This week in Europe, the key event we've got is the ECB meeting. And ECB has been a laggard because they're worried about what energy shortages may do to European economic activity looking ahead. They've decided, they've been pretty slow in terms of monetary policy tightening relative to other central banks. That may change this coming Thursday. So the ECB deposit rate is still sitting at minus 0.5%. The market consensus is that there will be at least a 25 basis point rate hike. Sounds silly to say a rate hike, because you go from minus 0.5 to minus 0.25. There's a risk they may do more than that, because inflation has been quite a pressure point as far as Europe's concerned. So looking out over the course of this week, you know, we're watching some of the developments coming through the US this week. We haven't got a lot of data coming through the US this week. There's a lot of housing information coming through. But there's a risk that you might get something of a reassessment starting to come through US markets. Last week it was about, yeah, maybe recession's coming, therefore, you know, the central bank might not be as aggressive. This week it may be shifting off that towards, you know, things actually holding up or have been in the past. Therefore, the Fed may have to do more rather than less. So the volatility we've seen running through financial markets, I think, is going to be certainly prominent over the course of this next month or two. And for us, it's very much looking not just next week, but the week after, towards the CPI and towards the next Reserve Bank meeting and the pressure points that are on the Reserve Bank here to lift interest rates again. Just next Monday, I'll be away, so there won't be a morning economic briefing next Monday, but back again the week after that.